Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Well, hello, everybody, and I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm so excited to have this guest today. His name is Justin Furtado. We know him as Coach Justin Furtado, and he is the founder and athletic director of DTG Basketball, and he's also a podcast host of Beyond the Scoreboard. Welcome to the show, Justin.
And in light of, you know, the spirit of Thanksgiving, I'm very grateful to be here. Thanks for the invite, Marcia.
You're welcome. We do have a connection that we'll be talking about as we move through this conversation. But we're going to be talking about, honestly, one of my very favorite sports. And I want to know a little bit more about you. So please tell us a little bit about yourself so we get to know you a little
bit. For sure. So, yeah, like you mentioned, I'm the founder and director, athletic director of BTG Basketball. But, of course, that's where I am now. And let's go back and get a little bit of history. And I think what the really important parts are is I'm from Northern California. I'm from Humboldt County. I went to Arcata High School, and so a fun fact about me, my K-8 school had my graduating class of in eighth grade had 16 kids, so incredibly small school. And this is a public school, too. This is not a private school. And so in the entire school of K-8, it was around 120 kids. So I had a sense of community from the beginning, which will be really important as I kind of build on and talk about my basketball coaching journey. And then, I grew up I played all the sports, but then I ended up focusing mostly on basketball and baseball from middle school on. Loved basketball. Honestly, was just naturally better at baseball. Always had good hand-eye coordination. But something about the game of basketball I had to work harder for it than baseball came a little bit easier. And there's something about having to kind of go that extra mile to just be as good as my friends. And, like, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to be as good as my friends. And I was cut from the JV or from my varsity basketball team my junior year. We had a new coach coming in, and that was definitely something that was pivotal in my life. And I got an opportunity to play JV basketball, which is not really heard of from where I was from. And so that was kind of my first kind of experience with being cut. And then after that, I decided that summer, I'm like, I'm going to make the team. So I would wake up at 5 a.m. every single day just to make the team. And I worked really hard and made the team my senior year. And, you know, I wish I could sit here and tell you, you know, I was scoring 12, 20 points a game and I was in every game. But, you know, in reality, I didn't come in until there's 2 minutes left and we were up 20 or down 20. But I led the team in high fives. Like, I led the team in just being, for lack of a better term, like, high character. I just wanted to bring the energy. That was my role on the team. And I feel like that's really kind of what set the foundation and the seed to, you know, becoming a coach, is like, you can learn so much from the bench. So we'll keep that in the back of our mind as we talk a little more BTG. After that, I went to University of Oregon. I lived there for 4 years. That's where I started my coaching career. I was in a coaching class with Coach Dave Rubino, and gosh, I'm really thankful for Dave. He taught me how to, you know, my first coaching, you know, kind of lesson. Like, I started at the Boys and Girls Club. It was like a group of second graders, and they had, like, not really too much basketball experience at all. And I remember my director at the time, Melissa, came into, like, one of the first two practices, and she kind of, like, you know, kind of, like, nods her head, like, you know what? They look pretty good. And I just, like, main thing at that time was, like, let's move the ball. You know, let's share the ball. We don't want to, you know, we don't need any ball hogs, and just kept it super simple. And so that's kind of what planted the seed for, you know, coaching. I never thought that I could coach for a living, or, you know, like, that wasn't even across my mind. I was working at the Boys and Girls Club after school programs, just to be a positive role model during college. It's all I wanted to do. I was like, I'm getting paid basically to do something that I would do for free because I just want to be a positive role model for these kids like I had my coaches and my parents in my life. And so long story short, ended up, I met my fiance at the time at University of Oregon, and then I followed her down to Southern California, where she got into grad school at USC. So she's a duck and a Trojan. And so we've been here for about 3.5 years. And so I've kind of meandered my way into the basketball community here, and I'm sure we'll dive more into that as we go on.
Well, okay, so I'm curious because I learned something about you I didn't know. You mentioned your fiancé. Are we still at the fiancé level, or have you gotten married?
We're getting married in September in Oregon.
Oh,
September
that's so
21,
cool.
2025. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's wonderful. And I know you're a duck. I know that's right. That's University of Oregon are the Ducks, correct? Am I wrong about that or right about that?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're big Duck fans. Big Duck
fans. Yeah. Yeah. I think this is, you know, it's funny when we find our passion, right? You know, it's interesting. Some people don't really even know what their passion is, but it sounds like this was quite an experience for you growing up in this experience. I didn't know about the Boys and Girls Club and all of that. Sounds like you've been a leader since you can remember, because you must have had some great role models as well in order to do that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's terrific. Do you have any siblings?
I have one sibling. My sister, she's 3 years younger than me. She's currently a grad student at George Washington in D.C.
Wow. Well, your parents must be so very proud of both of you. So I think you might have mentioned this a little bit, but let's dive a little deeper. So what first sparked you about your love for basketball, and how did it shape your early years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we're going to have to go back to when I was a kid, too, and I'm thinking about it right now, and I really appreciate this question, is like camp. Like, I loved basketball camp. I loved everything about it. I loved the games. I loved the, like, little mini games of one-on-one and free throw competitions and pizza at lunch and playing with my friends. And I would go, there's something called Basketball Jones when I was a kid, and I would go at least 2 or 3 times every single summer. And so I just remember how fun that was. I feel like camp, and that's kind of what planted the seed for what, you know, now a lot of my philosophy and how I run things currently through BTG is just like for the love of the game. And so, you know, as I continue to grow, I feel like basketball has just helped me develop as a person. It's helped me teach me about how to be resilient, right? Like how I talked about how I was cut. But if you really want something, then, you know, you have to stick with it. You have to either, you know, work in a different way or work harder, and probably a little mixture of both. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to be a star player all the time. And so, like, in eighth grade, like I was, right? But then you get into high school, like coming from a tiny little high school like I was talking about, come to a highly competitive high school, you're not going to be the guy anymore. So how can you find a way to contribute to the team? And so I feel like I fell in love with the team aspect. I fell in love with just like the joy of playing.
Did you always play? Well, let me ask you this. Were you always playing basketball in the gymnasium? Did you play on court, you know, like off court, like outside basketball, or were you always in a gymnasium when you played, or both?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. A great question. No, I definitely played a lot outdoors. I was very lucky to have a basketball hoop in my backyard. You know, fun fact, I had redwood trees in my backyard, and I spent countless hours on that court at 5 a.m., at 3 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, it didn't matter. Like, I loved my outdoor court. And it was a place where I can still go back. The hoop's still up. It's the same net, so it's a pretty sad-looking net. But it doesn't matter where it is. And outside, inside, I'll play at any court, you know. And, like, the basketballs I had were – you know, they weren't always the brightest and the shiniest, you know, like I just wanted to play.
And, you know, you're making me remember my own backyard with the basketball hoop by our garage, my son shooting the ball into the net. Basketballs come in different diameters, don't they? Because when you're a kid, you're probably not using the same size. So
correct.
Tell me a little bit about the physical ball? What size do adults use as opposed to kids?
Yeah, so men's use 29.5, and so that's the diameter, and then women's use 28.5. So generally, for like teenage boys, so when they hit to like sixth grade, then they kind of switch over the 29.5, and the real young ones use 27.5.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's funny. I think back to what that basketball looked like back in those old days. I think it said Lakers on it back a million years
Amazing.
Ago. All right, so back to you. So really, what inspired you? I have a feeling I know, but what inspired you to start coaching, and what was that first experience like for you?
That's a great question, and it's fun to reflect on. So I just appreciate these questions.
Great.
Yeah, so what inspired me was it started again. I'll kind of talk about the point of the Boys and Girls Club. So how mm-hmm. I found the Boys and Girls Club was through something called the Holden Center at University of Oregon. And basically, it's a leadership and engagement center. If you think about it, it's kind of like a mini Rotary Club at University
oh.
of Oregon. And so I was exposed, like my fall term, my freshman year. So it's my first like term on campus. I was a volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club. Like I knew I wanted to do something. Like I wanted to give back. I had worked with kids a little bit in high school and also like in middle school, because like I'm from a small community and giving back was something that my parents instilled into me through the school they chose for me, also just the values they chose to teach me as well. So I knew that was something I wanted to do. So I don't even know what exactly inspired me to take a coaching class. Like, I think I was just interested, you know, I was like, let's take a
mm-hmm.
coaching class. I'm working with these kids. I might as well learn how to coach and teach basketball. And so, I was in this class with a ton of Division I athletes. I was pretty shy at the time. Like I can still remember I sat in the back of the class. And we would start every single class with like the current events, and Coach Rubino, he'd talk about, you know, what's going on in the sports world. Didn't matter the sport. He was actually a track and field coach, but I feel like basketball was like his team sport love. And so I remember I would stay after class and he would be like, hey, like, what's your group? How are you going to grab their attention? How are you going to make sure you set agreements and expectations for them to follow? And then, you know, if they're, you know, a little bit off task, how are we going to do it in a productive way, not in a way that you yell at them and you degrade them, but what's a way that you can kind of help bring them in? And so I remember he took attention. Actually, he has an invite to my wedding because of the impact he had on my life. And I've had him on my podcast, which is amazing. So I really appreciate him. And so I just remember, like, I took a second coaching class with him and I went to watch his son's game. And like, so our job, our assignment was to like watch this coach. And so I watched his son's baseball coach, his body language and everything. And, you know, I just remember this is like a spring day and I was spitting seeds and it was a lot of fun. And so he also came and saw me coach as well. So how I got into coaching is I started at Kids Sports. And I was really lucky because Bev Smith is the executive director of Kids Sports, former University of Oregon women's coach, and also the Canadian women's national coach. So I just got really spoiled and lucky with like
mm-hmm.
mentors. And she was just probably one of the most down to earth people, really helped me, just runs a wonderful program up there in Eugene. And just was so great about like, it's really about the kids. It's about this experience. It's about them playing all these different sports. And so I was in a really fortunate position to learn from, you know, these multiple coaches. And so when I coached, the first team I ever coached, skill-wise, they're not the best team I've ever coached. Let's leave it at that. We improved dramatically throughout the year. We improved dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we went from not winning a single game to, like, at the end of the year, we got second place in our little tournament.
Mm.
And, like, that was – it's just, like, that progress. I think I was addicted from that moment just to see – what a team could accomplish if you like really poured into kids and like, just built a team camaraderie and like a lot of the parents were happy. And so I was just hooked. So I did it for a second year. And then obviously COVID had happened, which changed some things.
Sure. But it's interesting you mentioned parents because I have visions of what baseball was like and parents' behavior at sporting events, and sometimes you want to just, you know, put a gag over them and just say, shush, you know, just let these kids do their thing. So how do you think your upbringing influenced your coaching style and philosophy?
Oh, yeah. I was actually just on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me a similar thing, and I hadn't put two and two together in a little while until he had asked me. And I feel like it has everything to do. Like, I am big on teamwork and we over me. Being from a small community, like, I was instilled in those values about giving back, and about, like, the community is bigger than yourself, and, like, your actions are felt. You know, when you're in a small community, your actions, if you are, let's say if you're a bully, in middle school, well, those actions are going to be affected by, it's going to affect the entire classroom dynamic. So, like,
right.
I learned at a very young age, my energy and, like, who I was as a person really affects my environment that's around me. And so that's what I really try and teach with these kids with BP, which stands for Beyond the Game Basketball, is teaching them, like, your energy affects others around you, and how to be a great teammate. Like, I feel like because I'm a youth development coach, so, like, at the end of the day, I'm a high school coach, even JV, like, it's all development focused. I'm not a professional coach in the sense of I'm going to get fired if I don't win this game. So it's
right.
really about how can we help these kids really win in life, and that's something that's really stemmed from where I'm from.
I think that's great, and I as people are listening, if they want to learn a little bit about your organization, you did mention that BTG stands for Beyond the Game. Your website's very easy. It's just btgbasketball.org, and I'll make sure that that's noted in on my blog when the show is over. But so, what led you to create BTG Basketball? And you mentioned it stands for Beyond the Game. So, what's the beginning story behind that?
Absolutely. No, that's a great question. And when I moved down here about 3.5 years ago, I started working for a company called Royal Basketball School. And so, long story short, I got promoted pretty quickly from, like, I was just a coach in a gym to the head coach of the gym. And then I got promoted within a year to, like, the director of training coaches, just because of my ability to connect with kids. And so them at the time, they wanted me to help kind of pass that information along to coaches on how to connect and coach. And so I recognized, like, okay, I had some entrepreneurship background. So I'm like, there's a market here. There's a need for kids to have great programming for basically a basketball program that's just more than just basketball. So as a part of
right.
a couple of different basketball programs, and it's no knock to them, their focus is mainly on basketball. But I wanted to really focus on a great experience for kids where they can really grow as people and not just as basketball players. So it started, I was the Venice High School freshman sophomore coach. I did that for 2 years. And I did that, I started 2022-2023 was my first season. Now, after that season is really when I started getting into BTG. So BTG really started in 2023. It was originally called Bridging Impact Basketball because my podcast was originally Bridging Impact, because I wanted to pass the impact. I wanted to bridge the impact along to the next generation. So that was the first iteration. And how I started is after the season had ended, I found, you know, five, six kids who believed in what I was doing and wanted to continue working with me. You know, and some of them, they didn't even pay. I would pick them up from Venice High School after school. I'd drive them to the public park, and we'd train for an hour, hour and a half, whatever our time slot was. And then that summer, I ran five outdoor camps with one of my partners, Colin, at a public park, outdoor basketball camp. Really, like, six kids, like, not very many kids at all. And so what we would do, we would have our basketball sessions on the court, and then for our picnic tables, we'd do our leadership. We even watch some film on a phone. So kind of just starting bare bones. And that's really kind of what started it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of the beginnings, you could say.
Right. You know,
my background when I was that stay-at-home mom was I was very involved in the schools, and Westchester High School had a really, really good basketball team. And then when the kids were off to college, I got a job at the YMCA. Well, there was a whole youth basketball league at the YMCA, and kids came up from all ages to learn how to play basketball in the court. And it seems to me, remind me if I'm right about this, does the court size sort of depend upon the age of the kid?
Yes. Yeah, in general youth basketball, it's smaller.
That's what I thought. Okay. And Venice High School was a high school that our high school played against. That's interesting. So what is your core coaching philosophy, and how does it guide your approach on and off the court?
That's a great question. And my philosophy is it's about developing the person first and basketball player second. And I'm not going to lie, it is a lot easier said than done, because I feel like I can judge myself over a win or a loss, right? And right now, currently, I'll share kind of how my philosophy is tying in right now. So I'm at a small private school in Santa Monica, and so we're playing some of these bigger public schools, and we're struggling. We're not winning a lot of games, and so it's hard for me. I'm a competitor. I love to win, and I have to keep reminding myself of my core values, what my purpose is. It's to help them develop that character skill of, okay, what can we do to improve? So I'd say it's coaching the person first. It's teaching them what a growth mindset is. It's like taking them, I feel like a coach is supposed to take you from point A to point B. And most people, they'll just look at the problem, but we have to find a solution to that problem. So right now, long story short, we're having trouble against press, like pressure, ball pressure. And so the problem when I go into practice today that I'm going to work on solving is, how are we going to beat pressure through passing? And so we're just going to work on that. And so being solution oriented is really an important part of my coaching philosophy, and always wanting to continue to grow. And then I would say lastly is it's about like giving players autonomy and freedom. I feel like a lot of coaches, like, it's called like PlayStation coaching. They'll tell kids exactly what to do and when to do it. But my job as a coach is to help prepare these kids to be successful beyond the game. And so I have to give them the autonomy. I have to help guide them. I have to ask them questions, and I have to listen. So if you come to my practices, I do my best to ask more questions than I give answers, to help them, you know, come to the conclusion themselves, to give them creativity, to give them that autonomy to be themselves. And also it helps them with the learning process.
Well, you know, you said something a little while ago that I don't want to gloss over, because I've never heard somebody use this term. And I think it speaks volumes about you when you say we over me. And, you know, frankly, you might be listening to this podcast right now and be in a whole different field, but that could apply to just about everyone. And I really respect that motto, we over me. I think that is tremendous, truly tremendous. Wow. So getting back to what you're doing, so how do you personally approach mentoring these young athletes beyond just teaching them the game?
The number one thing is building a relationship. So part of our program, what we do, and it seems really small, but we'll make sure to dap up. Like I acknowledge, I'll give a fist bump or a high five to every single kid that walks into the gym. And I make them do that the same to every single kid that walks in the gym. So there's a semblance of community built from the jump. And middle school and high school athletes, they can be awkward, especially when I'm mixing boys and girls. They're like, hey, you know, they're not always want to give that fist bump. So it's something that I've had to continue to work on. And then as far as like really the mentoring goes, it's always asking questions. It's getting to know them. So during a warm up, right, I'm going around, I'm making sure that I'm communicating with them, right? Simple things. And I try and mix up my question. Like if I say, how was your day at school? They're going to give a generic answer. Generally, I like to ask, what did you eat for lunch? How was math? You know, something a little more specific, nothing too crazy, but it's all about asking questions and getting to know these kids. And I'm big on how many siblings do you have? what are your other passions, and you know, what do you enjoy doing outside of basketball? Because a lot of these kids don't know yet, right? So kind of trying to be like, oh, coach sees me as more than just a basketball player.
You know, it's very interesting. It really helps define why you are so good at what you do, regardless of what aspect you're working in right now, and because I know this is the only thing that you do. But when you show desire and it's obvious, it's not a facade. It's who you are. You had some people behind you that helped you with this. And so here you are at a very young age recognizing what maybe those folks before you did to help you. And now you're in that position where, you know, years from now, when these kids are starting their families and they're going, you know, I had this coach Furtado, and this is what he always said. And you're setting a stage that I don't even think that you can even imagine the impact that you're having on these young people, and not only just them, but their parents and their siblings and their classmates. This goes beyond the game, as you said. It really does talk about life skills. And when you show genuine interest in what somebody is doing, and you want to know, hey, listen, I remember, and I don't think it's probably changed, if you have grades that are not being successful in school, I don't think they let you play in sports, right? You have to maintain a certain grade level,
right,
to be in competitive sports. Now, you're no longer at Venice. I don't know what it's like at the current school that you're like, but I'm presuming that that's the same. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So right now you're in Santa Monica. So who is this, is a private school? Is that what this is that you're doing in Santa Monica?
Yeah, Pacific Christian High School in Santa Monica, correct. JV basketball,
okay.
JV boys.
So who do you play against? Who's in your division, or how the best way to say that?
The honest truth, I'm still learning on the fly, but there's AGBU.
Okay.
They're in the Valley. That's an Armenian school. EULA is an all-boys Jewish school. We play a lot of religious schools, so small religious schools, whether they're, you know, Jewish, Christian, Catholic, or Armenian.
Got it. And what's the season? What months do you play?
So for high school basketball, right now we're in season. So technically in season is November through like January for high school, like junior varsity. February is playoffs for varsity. But they do a summer season in June, and then they do fall basketball. That's September and October as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow, that's pretty cool. So when you think about just your experiences having to do with basketball, what would you say has been one of the most rewarding part about running BTG?
I think the most rewarding part is what you talked about. Now, I'm still such a relatively new coach in terms of, like, I don't have – none of my athletes have gotten married yet or have, you know, some of those different jobs. However, I have – a few athletes who are seniors now who I wrote letters of recommendation for, and I've known them really just for around a year, and I've just watched them grow so much. I mean, of course, on the court, the skills have improved, but I have one girl in particular. I won't use her name, but
okay.
She's just grown as a leader. Every time that a new athlete comes into our program, she makes them feel welcome, and it's just like she's really blossomed, and you know, she's actually has the aspirations of going to University of Chicago. So it's just amazing to see what, and not to play basketball, just to go to school. And so I have another athlete, a similar aspirations, got a full ride to go to University of Wisconsin, and you know, we're having conversations like, is this where I want to go? I have a full ride here, but you know, Wisconsin's far and it's cold, right? And so
right.
Just having and seeing them go on and chase their passions and watching their confidence grow, right? Of course, on the court, that's great. Like, it's fun. But if, more importantly, like watching their confidence grow off the court, is that's by far the most rewarding thing.
That's, you know, I'm looking at your website right now, and I love your website, number one. And I'm looking at what you said here when you say how we train different. And I think that this is really important, and I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about what is your training, how is that different from maybe some other type of programs like this?
Absolutely. Would you like me to get into the nuts and bolts of the basketball training? Because our basketball training is different. So we use a different scientific-led approach that's basically like slices of the pie of the game. There's something called perception-action coupling. And actually, it's in our everyday life. So I'm going to try and explain this in as simple as possible.
Go ahead.
Even if you're not a basketball fan, can understand. So if I'm driving, I have to perceive the other cars that are in the lane, right? I have to perceive the lines. I have to perceive my red light, right? We're always intaking and perceiving all of this information. Now, the action is how fast I go. Am I driving in a straight line? Am I driving smooth? So that's the action I'm taking from my perception. Like on green light, I'm going. On red light, I'm stopping. And so how we train at BTG is we train the perception and the action. Now, most basketball training and coaching just trains the action. So you'll see them do drills on cones, working on the action, but a cone doesn't give you the perception skill. So you always have to add a defender to work on that perception. Because as you know, you're a huge basketball fan. If you watch the Sparks, the Clippers, UCLA, USC, doesn't matter, Westchester, you're going to see – you're interacting with an environment, and every team you play is a different environment technically, right? It's different things. It's like driving on a different road in a different country. And so we want to make sure we're building adaptable athletes that can adapt to playing different styles of basketball, not one size fits all. So that's kind of the basketball X's and O's side of the thing and how we train that. And then we always do at the beginning, we always circle and connect and have them communicate about what's going on their day. So that way we're working on their communication skills. And then we always wrap up. I always ask the question, what they did well. So they're always learning how to reflect, and then what they want to improve on. And I have them share, and then we'll communicate through the entire group. Some other from my higher level. So I have my fiance is actually a strength coach as well. She went to University of Oregon, Division I athlete. So she's our strength coach. And we do classroom sessions where we watch film and or we talk about a communication or connection or curiosity and commitment, some of our different leadership values. So, yeah.
I like that. And I'm also noticing that you have multiple programs. You have group training. You have private training, and you have girls-only training. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely, yeah. So right now with group training, that's kind of the academy sort of thing, and you're generally with your age group, age-ish group, like a middle school or a high school. So that's group training. That's kind of doing more so what I was talking about with the perception action training. Private training it's great if someone wants to work on, you know, fixing their shot, getting more attention. And then as far as the girls only training, it's something that we're working on building out. And it's something that I really kind of recognize and I want to be a steward and pushing the girls game forward. And something I've realized is like, there's just really not a lot of girls programming that's accessible out there. So that's something that we're going to continue to build on, that girls want a space away from guys so they can be themselves, so they can connect and feel safe and comfortable. And so that's something that we're going to continue to work on as well. It's a newer part of our program. We have about 6 girls that are consistently showing up each week, and
nice.
We've been generating more interest each week.
And what are the ages of the young people that come to BTG?
So for our group training starts at 5th grade. So it's about 11, 12 is generally when we start our group training. Private training can go as young as 6 or 7. And our girls-only programs also starts in middle school as well. But our camps, we just ran a camp last week, and so that was open for ages 3rd grade through 9th grade. So I open up the camps and clinics to a little bit more wider age range, and then our regular training is, since it's a little more, it's a little higher level, we generally like there to be some fundamentals before they start.
And where do you physically do this?
So we have a outdoor location in Marina Del Rey and then also at Pacifica Christian in Santa Monica.
Okay, both,
and we're working on expanding. And, yeah.
So if somebody's listening, a parent is listening, and they're thinking, man, this is exactly what my son or daughter is looking to do, they can really just visit your website, right, and they can learn all about this. And I'm also thinking about, you know, what if you're listening to this, and this has nothing to do with your children or family, but you yourself would like to be a coach. You know, are you looking for coaches? How does that work?
Absolutely, yeah. We are always looking for high-quality coaches. So what we look for in a BTG coach, number one, they have to care about kids first for the game of basketball. That's a non-negotiable. Number two, they have to have like a willingness and a growth mindset to want to continue to learn, because the style of basketball we are teaching, like I was talking about with the perception action, it's called a constraint-led approach. It's very different than most basketball trainers and coaches do. So they have to have a really open and growth mindset. Number three is obviously you have to have some understanding of the game of basketball. But to me, that's the least important thing. I care about your character first, and then as do you care about people and are you willing to learn? And then, of course, mm-hmm. do you have passion for the game of basketball?
You know, I heard you say about that character. I think when I was working at the Y, I think character counts is one of the slogans for sports at the YMCA. I might have that confused with something else. I wanted to ask you, because I'm a story collector, but what has been, and maybe you have more than one that you could talk about, but what's been the most rewarding part for you running BTG basketball?
Ooh, that's a great question. And I'm going to talk about one of my original athletes, and again, I'll kind of leave his name out, but he started with me. He did, like I had mentioned before, you know, those five outdoor camps in Santa Monica mm-hmm. at a public park. He was there at all five of them. He's probably missed on one hand, the number of camps or clinics that I've run, and he's been a sponge. He's come to everything. And, you know, basketball is not something that – he's not necessarily naturally good at basketball. He's not naturally, he's naturally like a semi-good athlete, right? Nothing that's going to jump off on paper. And so, you know, I've seen him grow significantly, and he's taken the weight room seriously, and he's taken his mindset and his mental preparation seriously. And, just to see his confidence grow,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, when he was on my team, he was on my freshman sophomore team at Venice last year, to now he's on JV. He's the best player on JV. And it's great that he's a great player, but I just see his confidence in himself grow, because he's someone I could tell just kind of doubted himself, and he worked so hard. But to see his confidence grow and to see him, he loves teaching the game. Like he's such a teacher. He teaches and mentors the young athletes that come through BTG. And so it's just that's one of the most rewarding things about it, for sure.
I imagine. Wow. I love what you do. And I'm going to change the subject ever so slightly, because something else that you do, because you do a lot, is that you are now a podcast host. And you've started a podcast called Beyond the Scoreboard Podcast. And tell us what that's about, and what prompted you to get into podcasting?
Yeah, so, I mean, actually, this is a rebranding of this original podcast. I did have one podcast in – I was running it in COVID. It's called the Better World Humans Podcast. honestly, a little similar to what you're doing. I just interviewed people when I was in Eugene, Oregon, at nonprofits, basically people that were doing good in the community. So that's how I had started. It's called the Better World Humans. I had like this project called the Better World Challenge. So that's like kind of before even a lot of the coaching stuff started. But I started Bridging Impact podcast, which is now the Beyond the Scoreboard podcast, in, oh gosh, I think it was 2022, like spring of 2022. And I just wanted to do it. I selfishly just wanted to interview like coaches and people that worked with kids that were smarter than me. And so I feel like that was almost like a cheat code for my like growth and development. I would just be a sponge. Like I interviewed a ton of great coaches, like a coach from USA Basketball, like the director of education for USA Basketball. I interviewed an assistant coach for UCLA Women's. I interviewed a strength and conditioning coach for Gonzaga. And I just like ended up landing a ton of different guests who just have just poured into obviously my listeners, but also myself. Like I really wanted to create a platform for coaches like myself who are young and wanted to be sponges and just how to make an impact on kids through the game of basketball. So I wanted to learn from myself and then also create a platform where I'm learning in public and I'm learning and I can create and ask questions that can help young coaches. And now I target it towards coaches and parents to learn about how we can make an impact on kids.
That's great. Do you have like a favorite story or a moment that you'd like to share? Because it sounds like this almost started. Did this start before BTG, the podcast?
Yes, this started. The podcast started before BTG. So because BTG was originally Bridging Impact Basketball, which stemmed from the podcast name Bridging Impact. And I just recently rebranded to Beyond the Scoreboard this fall. So, like, it was the Bridging Impact. So if you honestly go listen to episodes in the summer, you'll say, hey, hello, and welcome to the Bridging Impact podcast. So it's a little bit different. I know. That's a really hard question because I've had so many good conversations. One of my favorite conversations that I've had is with the USA women's rugby coach. And it was at a time, like it was this summer. And so he coached in 2008 or 12, their international team. And he kind of like at the time, like in my BTG journey, I'm learning about how to now coach coaches. Like that's kind of my next iteration in BTG. It's not just me being the head coach, it's me training other head coaches. And so he really kind of dove into like the leadership side of things and how to lead coaches. And I would just remember, you know, we would talk about, how he did it and how he's like, you need to, you know, have coaches meetings and, you know, give them autonomy and constructive feedback. And so that's just one of the many conversations that I've had. And actually, you know, I'm actually going to share one more if you don't mind.
Please.
Because the reason I have a job at Pacifica Christian is so I in this gosh, it must have been 2023. So spring summer 2023, May, June, something like that. I reached out to the varsity coach at Pacifica Christian, got him on the podcast and I interviewed him. Now, kind of fast forward, is that 2022 or 20? I mean, all the years are blending. Fast forward 4 months later, he gives me a call out of the blue. Like, no communication since the podcast. He goes, Coach, I'm looking to find a new JV coach, and I think you're our guy. Are you interested? And, like, that came from the podcast. Now, eventually I go and I accept that job after. And so I'm there in the summer and he's talking to all the kids. He's talking to all the kids, all the coaches, including myself. And he goes, you know, I was halfway through the podcast, which I think Coach Furtado, Justin, whatever he called me. And he's like, I knew that was the guy that I wanted to hire for our JV coach. And keep in mind, he wasn't interviewing me. It was me interviewing him. And so the opportunities that have come from the podcast have been amazing. Like I'm not sure about you, but I don't make a ton of money from, I don't make any money really from the podcast.
Yes.
So it's
really
just information. Main thing is information, and it's just been such a blessing. So and that's really helped me grow BTG because it gave me access to a gym, and obviously, like this, I really enjoy being at this school. So it's pretty amazing what a podcast can do.
Absolutely, and I don't monetize either. Sometimes you just have a passion of love, and obviously, this would explain you as well. And I'm wondering, what kind of legacy or impact do you hope to have to leave through your work?
Wow, that's a great question. And I feel like I want to create a ripple effect. I want the kids that come through the program, I want the coaches that come through our program, or the listeners that listen to the podcast to want to go and make an impact on another kid's life. And then if we can create a ripple effect, an effect that dominoes, then I've done my job.
Yes, and you may never know, Justin, you may never know unless somebody comes back, or a parent or a grandparent or a friend of a friend, that says, you can't even believe with what you did or what you said or how you affected. You personally may never know, but it's that isn't as important to you as the fact that you can and you do. And I think that sports does that for so many people. And I'm just wondering, how do you see sports shaping this next generation, and what role the coaches play in this process?
Well, first off, I'm biased because I'm in this industry, and I'm such a big believer in it. And at the same time, I feel like it's more pivotal than ever for kids to have sports, because we are competing against screens. We're competing. It's so important for kids to, number one, play and have fun and, like, be involved and engaged in physical activity. And number two, be able to have the communication and the skills to work with people. I am noticing that one of my biggest challenges after COVID was just getting kids to work together, and how to work on a team. And we are so isolated as a society, and I'm sure you know that. You see it. You're on Facebook, and you can see, like, there's one corner over here, there's one corner over here. There's just such a lack of unity in terms of people being able to communicate with one another, like, that disagree. And what I tell my kids, I'm like, you do not have to like every single kid on our team. I know you're not going to, unless you have someone, some type of personality, kind of like myself, who kind of gets along with everyone. But that's a separate story for another day.
Right.
Do you have enough respect for someone else to just know how to work with another person? And I feel like that's what sports teaches us. It teaches us how to be accountable, how to show up on time, how to work with people, and how to communicate in person, not on a screen, in person.
Right.
This is another thing, is we just got our nonprofit, our foundation, so BTG Athletics Foundation passed. And
wonderful.
I've kind of, empowered Addie is my fiance, to run the foundation. Is, one of the biggest challenges, as you've seen me present at Rotary, is access to this quality coaching and quality programming. It's expensive to go to camp. It's expensive to play club basketball, And so, like, a lot of times, a lot of kids are getting left out, and then they're not going to play. Then they don't end up developing the skills that they need, and they don't love a sport, and they're 19 years old, and, they could be playing in a men's or a women's or a recreation league and staying active and healthy and socializing, but, they may choose not to because they didn't have a positive experience with coaches, which goes to the second part of your question, is coaches are so influential. And I realized that this past year is, like, I'm going to double down on the podcast, and, like, my role as just a person in this world is to develop coaches, because I can only work with so many kids a day. Like, it's just so many hours in a day. I only have so much energy. If I can work with, and if I can impact a coach and teach them to coach, well, that just goes and they go and impact so many more kids. And so that's kind of my next iteration of where I am. I'm still coaching kids, but I'm also I want to coach coaches, because there's a lot of coaches do a lot of damage and add a lot of trauma to these kids' lives, and don't even know they're doing it. They don't do it on purpose, but yelling at kids and bringing them down and,
right.
you know, like that really affects kids' lives and it affects kids. They burn out. They don't want to play anymore. And so like, it's just like, it's, I could go on and on about that.
Right.
That's like
I'm
an
sure.
epidemic in youth sports. So just like that, that's a big piece.
So, you know, it's interesting how big plays a role, you know, not everybody is going to get involved in sports. You may be that person that doesn't really want to play in sports, but maybe you want to announce in sports, or maybe you want to
right.
score in sports.
Right.
There's so many different avenues. And I would just want to know, what advice would you give to someone who wants to make a positive impact in their community? You mentioned Rotary. You and I are both members of Playa Vena Sunrise Rotary, and that is definitely something that supports the community. But what advice would you give to someone who wants to make a have a positive impact in their community?
That's a great question. And I feel like the number one thing would be to give back to something you are passionate about. If you love art, like go teach kids art classes, or, you know, maybe it's you want to go into prisons and teach art, whatever it is, building a positive impact around something that you're passionate about. And that could be could be financial education and then
mm-hmm.
obviously experimenting with it. You know, you may like working with kids. You may like working with really young kids. Maybe you like high schoolers. Maybe you like college kids. Maybe you like adults, working with adults. Like everyone has their different things. Like I'm kind of a weirdo. I like working with middle school kids. They're like, that's like every single person's least favorite group to coach. And I love coaching
mm-hmm.
middle school kids. I don't know why. Don't ask me. It's just something about that they try to act so cool, but they're such sponges at that age. That's what I love to do. I feel like I am I'm very grateful that the universe has put me in positions to, you know, coach the game of basketball. It's a privilege to coach basketball, especially for a living, because I recognize that not everyone gets an opportunity to do what they love and give back and make an impact all in one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just super spoiled in that regard. And that's a really big testament to my parents in terms of how they've supported me. And, you know, obviously financially, but even more importantly, they've always been like, do what you love. You know, like my dad and you know, my dad is a child of immigrants from the Azores and just worked his butt off to start his own construction company and was the founder and, you know, ran his own business and has no college education. And then my mom is the kindest person you could ever meet, has the biggest heart you could ever meet. And after, you know, 25 years of working in finance at the sheriff's department, she's like, you know what, I want to be a surgeon. And so always showed me how to care about people and how to have a growth mindset. And my dad always taught me about how to take initiative. So I'd be remiss if I didn't give them a shout out to where I am.
You were a good student. You followed their lead, and that says something about them, and it says something about you. If people that are listening right now, what would be some steps that they could do to support your mission and get involved with BTG?
Absolutely. So if you kind of like what we're talking about with like the leadership aspect and you want to learn more about how you can make an impact as a coach, or I call them like a kid influencer, you can go listen to the podcast, Beyond the Scoreboard podcast. Now, if you want to financially support some of the athletes, like we've given out over 10 scholarships this past year to athletes for club basketball and camps and group training. You can actually, it's not on our website yet, but you can contact me from the website and reach out and let me know that you're interested in sponsoring, because we are, you know, gearing up for our club season and gearing up for, you know, some of the clinics and camps we have coming up. And so obviously the more funds we have, the more kids we're able to impact who may not be able to attend BTG programming otherwise. And then if you or someone you know has a kid who's interested in potentially exploring basketball or wants to join our basketball program, again, you can go to the website, btgbasketball.org, schedule a call with me. And then I'd love to, how I do it is I get to know more about your athlete. It's all about how we can serve you and their kid, and seeing if it's a good fit, of course. And I'll of course share about the program, but my big thing is it's always about asking and learning. The more I can learn more about the kids and the people I'm serving, the better I can serve them.
Absolutely. You know, I think balance, and I don't mean just how do you walk without falling over, but that could be something too. But I think
balance
is so important in life. And so I'm just curious, how do you balance between being a coach, being a podcast host? You are a leader in the community. How do you manage to balance all that between your professional, your personal life? How do you do that?
Well, it's not always
not
perfect.
Easy.
It's not easy. And that is something I feel like the thing that is helping me the most the past couple of months, like, because I'm going to be honest just with your listeners, like, I have a very hard time unwinding. Like, I'm just someone, like, I am very type A in my, like, professional life. In my personal life, I'm pretty type B. I'm, like, very, like, you figure it out. Like, I'm so type A in my, like, professional life. Like, I don't want to think about anything. But I have a hard time unwinding. And so that's something I've been really a lot more intentional about this past, you know, past couple of months. Like, this past weekend was probably the first weekend. Like, I coached one game on Saturday, and I took Sunday off, and I had half Saturday off. And, like, that's my first 1.5 days off, and I don't know how long. Like, it's been a long time. Like, I work, like, 7 days a week. So I've been really trying to be better about, like, okay, I'm putting my phone away at night. I am, you know, like, it's Sunday afternoon. Like, I'll watch Rams, but I got to put my phone away. Like, for me, so much of my business is on my phone, so I really got to try and escape my phone, spend quality time with my fiance and my pup, and then try and spend as much time outdoors as I can. Like, I live in Marina del Rey, so I go on as many walks as I can. Last night, we walked to the beach, and so I'm not perfect at it. I've been trying to be better at unwinding at night. It's definitely been a little bit of a struggle. I'm not going to lie. It's not something I'm not the best at. So the thing is, I like love what I do so much. Like, I feel like that's where I get away with what, you know, I love being involved in the community with Rotary. I love, you know, coaching basketball. I love the podcast, and, like, I don't know, that purpose kind of fuels me. So I feel like the purpose is what helps keep me balanced.
You know, it's not easy, though, because I understand that. It is not easy. And sometimes we just have to turn it off, you know, kind of like the TV. And one of the things that I have a meditation tape, an app on my phone, that just sort of helps me start my day. I take a yoga class online that just teaches me how to take a deep breath and calm down. And, you know, I use my phone like a lot of you do. My phone is always very close to where I am as well, too. And I realize there's just times where we just have to just turn it off, or at least silence it. Something that just allows us to just enjoy maybe watching a sporting event on TV because that's enjoyable, or whatever your fiance likes to do, the two of you, like you say, taking a walk. Because I have one of those Apple Watches, I'm very consistent with that. Mm-hmm. And so I walk nearly 4 miles a day, every day. And that's because I'm doing that for me. And we do need to take some me time, Justin. And that, you know, there's the us time, there's the work time, and then there's that me time. And I just think that, you know, even though you said earlier about the me and you part, we over me, there's sometimes where we do need to be able to just sort of rebalance ourselves and take a little time for ourselves so that we have the energy to do all the things that we're doing. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I did this past weekend, and I feel refreshed. So I need to do that more, and I absolutely agree.
I'm a person that writes notes. I have notes, post-it notes all over my house. And perhaps what you could do is have a post-it note that just says, I'm going to take 15 minutes now just for me, whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's just sitting outside and, oh, my God, the stars. I mean, we don't live that far from one another. I cannot believe how clear we can see them, some of these planets recently in the night sky. It's incredible. So just taking some time, you know, I think that that's really important. And I just appreciate the time that you've spent with me today, me getting to know you even better, and for you sharing your story about you, Justin, with our audience. It's been fabulous.
Likewise. I always feel, rejuvenated and energized, and I really appreciate your thoughtful questions and, you know, giving me an opportunity to reflect, because I feel like that's given me a chance to really get to know myself more, too. So I appreciate
Certainly.
That.
Well, you're very welcome. And everybody, you know, as we are leaving that Thanksgiving of this past week, we have much to be thankful for. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves just what that is. And maybe you write it down and you say, this is what I'm thankful for. And I'm always thankful to be able to do this each and every week, Justin. So continue on congratulations on what you're doing, on the different areas of your life that you're involved in. And I will see you at a Rotary on Wednesday. So thank you very much again for joining me. Everybody, have a great rest of your week. And maybe you just touch somebody with some kindness in your day today. Bye for now, everybody.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play. Like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I want my kids' childhood to be a lot different from mine. My ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, still affect my mental and physical health. Even my relationships. ACEs can involve abuse, neglect, growing up around substance use, or other trauma. But I'm learning how to heal and live beyond what happened for us. So can you. To start your healing journey, go to livebeyondca.org.